So welcome back to the Gear Shift Chat. And today we're going to be talking about our most recent video we've posted, which is a Mazda MX-5, which was owned by Calvin that came over all the way from Scotland, who was part of the JPCC SE.
Yeah, and he's actually friends with the GTIR owner.
Richard,
yeah. Yep. So we spoke about that previously. And, you know, we spoke about how nice it was that Calvin and Richard both made the time to, you know, let us film their cars, which was quite nice of them.
They gave us a full day to film both their cars on that same day, which was really nice.
And the good thing is it was actually pretty decent weather, but I think it started actually even raining at the end, which is quite good. We got all our footage done.
Yep.
And it was actually just as we're going to get heading home, it just started to rain.
As I was about to do the B-roll.
Yes.
As I was about to do the B-roll, what happened, we were just about to do the B-roll, then it started raining, and we thought, oh, let's just go home, and we'll get it done. The rain will stop by then. Hadn't stopped, and we had to, park the car in my dad's garage, and then I just got that sorted.
Yeah, so. True. That was quite fun, though. What did you think of the MX-5? Because, personally, I loved that little car.
I loved it so much. I'm so surprised, because the engine's stock on it.
Yeah, and it's 1.6-liter engine. Was it 110 horsepower?
110 horsepower. Because it's the Roadster, the Japanese version, it comes with 20 more horsepower than the normal UK spec one.
Yeah, so I think the UK spec came out with 90 brake horsepower, 1.6-liter naturally aspirated engine. But because it was a Japanese one, I think it had probably due to less emissions or something. I'm not too sure.
Who knows? Maybe it has air conditioning or something. I'm only guessing that because of the Pulsar,
because it's very possible
the UK spec ones didn't come with air conditioning and they had less horsepower, so
I mean it's certainly possible that that's the reason. But you know, with 20 more horsepower, it doesn't sound like a lot, but when you've got a car that's incredibly light, it's already only got 90 horsepower and you've added an extra 20 horsepower, that's a good considerable amount of extra horsepower. It's over 20% more power, so the car does pull very nicely. It's no way in the world the quickest car in the world, as it obviously felt.
Yeah.
But it gives you the illusion of speed. And a lot of cars, you know, there's a really, really good saying. It's a lot more fun to drive a slow car fast than a fast car slow. And that's the perfect example of driving a slow car that is really, really fun and feels really fast.
He was thrashing that thing.
And he was. And the thing is, he had it lowered, I think it was, with the stiffer suspension. He had semi-slick track tires on it, so it had a lot of grip.
Obviously, bigger, nice alloys.
And low,
bigger
alloys. Very, very light. Yeah. Incredible little car, and I can 100% see why people use it for track cars.
Absolutely.
Fantastic little thing.
I loved it. I thought it was brilliant. Just handled, really well.
Yeah, now, he also had a convertible one, I think it was, that he took the soft top off and he replaced it with a hard top roof.
So no, that roof I think he just... No, maybe you're right. I don't know.
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, the roof comes off, actually.
It does, but I thought he just added it on. I don't think he has a second one.
Yeah, I think what you do is you can actually just take the roof, the canvas off, mm-hmm. and replace it with a hard.
Nice.
So in the wintertime, you have a bit more, you know, warmth. You don't have to worry about leaks.
Yeah.
But I know he kind of keeps it on permanently. But I must say, that car was incredibly small. I'm 6'2". You're what's about just under 6 foot? 6 foot?
No, I'm 6 foot, exactly.
6 foot. So Connor's 6 foot, I'm 6'2", and it was quite a tight squeeze. I remember when I sat in the seats, it felt like someone was digging their hands into my back because I just couldn't fit into the seat.
They're very narrow.
Yeah, it was very, very narrow. And the roof is also quite low, actually.
Yeah.
You wouldn't expect it to be that low.
In the video, it was quite funny because the only way you could sit comfortably is you had to have your arms out of
yes,
the car.
Yes, because I had the GoPro out the window.
Well, that as well, yeah.
It was just more comfortable.
And the second GoPro mount we had just wasn't wanting to work, so you just held it.
It was the same GoPro mounts we had on the GT... the MRS videos.
No, we didn't. Well, yes. Yes, no, it's the same type of ones.
Yes, the same one. We lost the MRS one, but...
We had three.
It was the same type of mount, and they just would not want to stick. Remember, how long did we stand there? It was maybe 10 minutes just trying to get the one mount to stick, and it kept falling off slowly. And you'd stick it again and fall off slowly.
Yes. And then you would put a bottle of water on it, and then you put too much water on it, and then you drown it, and then it just falls off even quicker. So you have to get that right...
It's a very, very sticky situation. you've got to get quite a good balance of, you know, is there enough water? Is there too much water? Is the rear window clean? Is it not? Whatever it is. And the fact that I think he had a roll bar in the rear, we couldn't actually squeeze through to actually reach the rear window nice and easily.
Yep.
But But that's the joys of having, you know, cheap equipment. But, you know, that doesn't make a difference. The footage came out great. So
it came out fine. And
you know, it just shows you, you don't need to have a massive budget, like a proper film budget, to get really, really good footage. It's just by being creative with your work. Totally. And, you know, we've done some pretty good shots, and, you know, we didn't spend huge amounts of money on budgets, and it's worked out all right. Now, we did lose a camera, but, you know, that's the cost
not on that specific video, but I know what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but that's the cost of doing business.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
Bit of fun, but, like...
You win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
But what was also quite interesting about his little car was, in the rear, he actually had a dome light.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you want to tell that story. That's quite an interesting one.
I can't remember too much about it, but that, from what I remember of that dome light, it was a thing that you would actually leave on the side of the road to, like, warn people. So, like, you know, with your E-Class, it has a...
Yeah, whenever you break down, you have that, like, red triangle you put down.
Yeah.
And in Japan, what they did was they used the dome lights, and you put them down further down the road. Now, I think, if I remember correctly, his was purple.
Yep.
Which I don't believe is the original color. But it does look quite cool. But what he's done is he's mounted it between the two seats in the rear.
Yep.
And he uses it, and it's pretty awesome looking. You know, you got a little purple light that flashes and strobes. It's quite cool.
I thought it was a nice wee addition. Just, like, make it a bit more, because, like, just add more to it. It looked great. It was very, you summed up very well. It was very tastefully done. That whole car.
It was very tastefully done. Now, I know, you know, it was white and blue. Sorry, white and black. White and black with a nice purple, you know, light. And he did it really nice. He had the black alloys, the white car with the black trim. It just makes the car nice and sleek, and it just works perfectly, I think.
I agree completely. It looked really good, I thought.
And you know what I quite liked as well was the fact that he had quite a lot of nice stickers as well. He didn't have huge amounts of stickers, but he had, like, necessary stickers, which is quite cool. He had Car Club and... was one or two other ones as well, Japanese ones, I think.
He had the JPCCSC logo. A couple other ones, I couldn't really tell you. It was a while since we filmed it, but he had them all over the back. And then I think on the inside of the bumper?
Maybe? I don't know.
Maybe? I don't know.
We'll have to see and check the footage. Watch the video, you let us know. Drop us in the comment.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm breaking the fourth wall, boys. I've done it again. Anyway. One thing I never, like, I'm a car guy, and I mean, you're a car guy too.
Of course.
But you never realize, actually, if you haven't driven in a car with pop-up headlights, that they're actually obstructive of you. You just assume that they pop up and you don't even, like, notice it.
Yeah.
Like, it visibly takes, like, a decent bit of, you know, viewing area out of your car.
Yep.
So that was quite a surprise. I was like, oh, I didn't realize I would have to see less by having pop-up headlights.
Yeah.
But it's still pretty cool. I like them. Some people, you know, say the cars without pop-up headlights are awesome. Some people say it's the other, you know, but I think pop-up headlights are pretty cool.
Absolutely, I agree. Well, now let's get to the day of filming and actually what came down and how everything happened. So from what I remember, you decided to go to a wee car park just off the side of a wee country park.
Yes, yeah, so where we went was we went to Glenarm Park. Mm-hmm. It's just outside Glenarm Castle. And there's a big forest area there. It's got a gravel section and you can go walk up and down. And it's quite nice, actually. You should go have a walk there.
So we drove there. We drove in three cars. We drove in the GTIR, the Mazda, and you took the MRS.
Yeah, exactly. And your brother actually came with it. I forgot about that.
He did. He was just there to have a wee bit of fun, you know?
Where was the camera bags? I can't remember. Were they in my car with me?
So...
because no one else's cars could fit anything?
No. What happened was, on the way up, I was in the GTIR, actually filming my reactions.
Yeah, and the driving shots, yeah.
The driving shots of the GTIR. And my bag was in Calvin's car.
Yes.
And... then I think
Robbie was with me, I think.
Robbie was with you.
Yes.
So the cameras and all the tripods were in with him. And then when it came to driving back, you had to go back to work.
Yep.
So we were just we finished everything up. You went on. Then I got into Calvin with him. Robbie got into the GTIR.
Yep.
And then we just stopped. I asked Richard nicely, is it okay if I put my bags inside your very rare and special car? And he said, yeah, throw them in.
Yeah. And the fact that, like, it was just like there's not even any boot space because there's a bar, and it's just a stiffener that goes across the back. It's quite funny.
But I mean, not from just from my bags, but I mean, I think they did slide about a wee bit. But one thing that actually didn't make the video is Richard actually launched the GTIR, and I wish in the car. Yep, launched it for Robbie and not for me.
Oh, come on, Richard.
I know.
Launch it for Connor.
But my brother said it was brilliant. He loved it.
Yeah, I think the multiple deaths make a big, big, big difference there.
Lots of grip.
But, you know, personally, if you had to choose an MX-5, right, as a sports car, would you go for that?
Like the first generation?
Yeah. Or any generation. Like, what would be your favorite MX-5 to go with?
I love the newest one, the fourth generation. Now, haters going to hate. Haters going to hate.
Okay, why not?
What do you mean? Like, why not? Like,
why? Well, why would you hate it?
Well, why would you hate it? Because it's heavier.
Yeah.
It's doesn't have pop-up headlights. It's now because of the weight, they have put up the horsepower. I think up to nearly 200. I think it's more.
To be honest, I'm not a huge MX-5 fan.
I'm not too sure, but it's. I think it's between 180 and 120, something in that range.
Okay.
Now, there's a couple of MX-5s you can get. You can get a hard top, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Or you can get a hard top convertible, like where it folds in, and then you get a soft top.
Okay, yeah.
I think the soft top's the lightest. So if you want performance, go for the soft top.
Well, you usually with a car, whenever you have a convertible, right, the chassis seems to twist more. You have a lot more flex. So they actually have to put in more stiffness to make it more rigid. So you'll find a lot of the time, like Porsches, they actually light up having a full solid roof.
Yes, but the point I'm trying to make is if you went for the hard top convertible, that's even more weight.
Yeah, but is it electric or is it full
manual? It's electric.
Yeah, electric adds just so much extra weight.
Yep.
It's like the SLK, which will be coming up at some point in the future.
Absolutely, yeah.
But it's just the creature comforts. Personally,
A lot of creature comforts. I love the look of them. Just that modern look, that modern take on a wee car. Yeah. I just think they're brilliant wee things.
They are good. Now, we both know someone, well, you know someone with a third generation
Mark
MX-5. Mark
III, yep.
And I know someone with a third generation MX-5.
Those are the most hated ones.
I know. Mark III. I personally quite like them because...
I don't hate them.
I like them in the sense that...
They've got that
They're not
ground.
The newest ones, right?
Yep.
So they're pretty decently priced now. They're not overly heavy. They still have the mechanical roof where you have to do it manually. And you have, I think it was Peter's one. There's a 1.8-litre, 140, 150 horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes pretty well. You know, it's not the quickest thing in the world, but it goes really well. It's nice and light on fuel. It's reliable. I think he's had it for nearly like 3 or 4 years. Now, I know he doesn't drive hugely, but still is reliable anything.
Absolutely. Now, the guy I know with it, he has a electric hardtop. But
oh, is his electric?
His is electric.
I didn't
now,
realize that.
The funny thing is, his version, now he'll say himself, his is the full hairdresser's spec. It's got the heated seats, electric roof, like any spec with comforts was teched. So that means he's certain it was a hairdresser that bought that car. And I think he's like the third owner of it. And he loves that car. Now, funny enough, with the roof,
okay,
he has a Volvo that he daily drives,
and it has a
sunroof, and it leaks all the time. It's a wee bit annoying, but it's a brilliant car, really good on fuel, and it's in that weird price bracket where you just pay no tax or something. I don't really know the full specifics, but good car. Now his MX-5 that has this beautiful origami on how it folds in. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how they're able to fold the whole roof in to such a small space. It's brilliant Japanese engineering. Love it. Now, he says that the Mazda leaks, never leaks. The Mazda never leaks whilst the Volvo always leaks. And you would think the Mazda leaks a lot more because of all the different seals it's got and all the electrics, but no. It doesn't leak at all.
Yeah, but you'll probably find the Mazda's a bit newer, possibly.
Ever so slightly. I think it's a 2010, 2011.
No idea. But sunroofs are notorious for leaks. They always have a problem. It's usually the drains get blocked, and then they end up leaking elsewhere.
I'm pretty sure he just got like a... You know that thing that you use for bathrooms?
Silicon.
Silicon. I think he just went to Silicon.
Silicon is closed.
He was just like, I just can't be bothered.
Summer's never opening again.
Yeah, well, he never had it open. My dad did the same thing with his Land Rover. He just like, I just
is
can't
that
be
with Disco 2?
Disco 2, yeah.
I didn't realize it had a sunroof.
It does, and it leaked a lot. I remember as a child, anytime we went over to like England, on a long trip, because that was always the car we took, it would leak horrendously.
Oh dear, that's not fun.
Sunroofs are nice, but
so, top tip: yes. Don't get a car with a sunroof.
What's your favorite generation of Mazda?
Oh, so this is where it gets hard for me, because I've been in a first generation, I've been in a third generation, haven't been in a second or fourth generation, right? So I'm kind of biased here. I quite like the first generation because, well, it's the first generation MX-5.
Absolutely.
It's the one that everyone loves. It's super light. It's got the pop-up headlights. It's just got loads of character. But I just don't fit. I'm a bit too big for that car, realistically, right? The third generation is actually decently sized.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, Will and me, we're both big fellas. We fit in there nicely.
Yep.
So from the fact of, you know, you still have the naturally aspirated engine. You still have it's a pretty light car still. I know it does have extra weight in it, but it's still pretty light. You've got the creature comforts and just the price bracket. You know, you couldn't be a car, you know, the second generation, I know they had a lot of rust issues, same as the first ones. The third generation, I think they're pretty solid.
Absolutely.
I've not heard any really bad things about them. And the fourth generation is just too new, too expensive. And realistically, in 10 years' time, there's probably going to be too many electrical issues.
That's the sad thing.
Yeah.
And another wee fun fact about the Mark III, it has, I think, 4 cup holders for a 2-seater car. It's got 4 cup holders.
Very possible. I never looked into it.
2 in the door, and I think 2 in the center, I think.
Possibly.
And they're proper-sized one. You can put a full can, or a can of Coke fits perfectly in all of them. So you can have 4 cans of Coke as you're driving with your non-leaking hardtop Mazda MX-5.
Well, as long as they're cans of Coke and not powdered Coke, it's fine.
Jesus, sure. But,
it's
yes.
Okay. It's they're hairdressers.
But anyway. Gonna get me cancelled, boy. But going back to the video, so you decided to go through the gravelliest road known to man, and why was that a bad mistake?
Well, my thought was this, right? Richard had a rally car, so I thought, well, why don't we go down a bit of a gravel road to the car park? It'll hopefully be quiet, there'll be no cars there, we can film it nice and easily, and there was somewhere we'd not gone before, and it was nice scenery. So Richard's car was fine.
Absolutely.
The MRS was fine. Kelvin's car, now he had lowered the car, so the car was scraping on a normal road. So obviously, when we go down a gravel road with loads of potholes, because of the rain, the gravel's been washed away, it was just scraping the entire way there. And I'm pretty sure at a point or two, if it wasn't moving as fast as he was going, it probably would have bottomed out and just got stuck.
Yeah.
He definitely like bounced off the ground a good few times. But, you know, he enjoyed it.
Every time it scraped, I swear it sounded like pipes were just falling off the car.
Yeah, it was like you were dragging a spade behind you in the gravel. It was like,
yeah.
Insert sound effect.
I'm gonna do you dirty and not do it.
Rip.
But no, that was a good car. A lot of fun.
It was.
Because like driving back on it, it was in the rain and he really goes for it. But it's, I don't know why, but it's just so direct, so small, so light. You can just do anything without breaking the speed limit.
Do you know what actually reminds me
with
of?
With a bit of fun.
It actually reminds me nearly of like the Honda Beat. In the fact that it's a really small car. It's a bit of a tight squeeze to drive the thing in. But now the Honda Beat obviously has a lot less power.
But it revs a lot higher.
It does rev a lot higher. It's also rear engined,
yep,
and rear wheel drive, where the MX-5 is obviously front engine, rear wheel drive. But it was actually giving you very similar characteristics to it. Actually, when you think
about it, yeah,
super light car. Like there's probably not really much weight between them if you really think about it. Probably looking at about 200 kilograms.
You're probably right. To be fair,
The MX-5 is probably nearly double the horsepower. you really think about it, there's not really huge amounts of difference there size-wise.
What's the horsepower in the Honda Beats?
I think it's 65 or 68 horsepower. Yeah. It's not really that much, but it's a 650cc engine out of a motorbike, so that's pretty cool.
Well, unique. That's why it revs so high.
Yeah. I think it's redlined by 9,000 RPM.
I know.
You just go all the way to with the bank and back.
Yeah.
But
brilliant wee car.
I mean, that car is incredibly light in fuel. Like, I think after we drove it, had still the same fuel tank.
I know.
When we picked it up the next time.
Amazing. But anyway.
I mean, it wasn't driving.
Yeah, I know.
He hadn't started it since, but didn't use any fuel. That's always a win. No leaks.
Exactly. So, the MX-5, that was actually the only car that you reviewed.
It was, yeah. It was quite a bad review, in my opinion.
I mean, you did a good job.
I don't feel as if I did the car justice. And, well, you know.
You did well. I thought you did a lot better than me because... Now, I'm still learning at interviewing people, and I'm not brilliant at it. I have to keep thinking about what's the next question I have to ask, and I have to sometimes ask you in the middle of it. But I'm getting there.
Well, it's just practice, you know.
Exactly. But you rattle off the questions and...
I think, actually, that was the quickest interview we ever did, I think it was. Thinking about it.
At the time, yep.
Yeah, what was it, 8 minutes? I think it was 7 or 8 minutes, and we did ask them all the questions. We had all the information we needed, and then literally just B-roll. Like, I think that video took us maybe an hour to film.
Yep.
And the other one took us like 3 or 4 hours, because we had to get in the garage, and we had to get so much different footage, and all the different million questions.
I know.
But...
So, the footage was sort of ruined, which... was a bit of a downside of that, which I didn't like. It's very grainy, and I think it had to do with the different exposures.
I think the reason why it was also quite bad was the fact that we were in a forest, which was quite dark, of course, and the fact that it was starting to rain, so we had some nice dark clouds above us, so it kind of just blocked all the light out, made the camera's footage look not the best, but sure, that's just the joys of filming. You can't predict the weather.
Well, I mean,
you can, I guess, if you're the weatherman. But how accurate is he? So that pretty much wraps up our entire experience of the MX-5 video. It was a great video. I really enjoyed filming it, and I hope you guys enjoyed watching it. Well, that's, of course, the main thing. But, you know, I think we got a decent bit of information there, and there was quite interesting things that happened
behind the scenes. Things like that, exactly.
Exactly. You know, there was definitely a couple bits of sparks flying behind us, but that's cool.
No flames, but anything.
But good noise. And I think, actually, he had a straight pipe, didn't he?
He did.
We'd have not mentioned
Very that. Loudly straight piped.
Legally straight piped.
Legally. My dad said it's the loudest car he's ever heard.
Yeah, no, it was nice though. It was, like I say, it was tastefully done.
Exactly.
So what is the next car we're going to be filming, Connor?
A Mercedes
E430. And that is my car. It is great. I love it.
And it for a while it was, well, your daily driver.
Yeah, I actually haven't driven in a while.
Exactly.
But
he's taken off the road, but we'll get...
Still on the road. Still on the road.
Well, you're not driving it.
I've just forgot to drive it.
Yeah. But we'll get onto it. We don't want to say too much. So that'll be the next car. Brilliant car. I love it.
Coming out on Friday. Have a watch.
And then Monday, the podcast will be out. Now, just a wee thing. We did say that the podcast will come out every Wednesday. We've changed our minds. Going to Monday now.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is Monday at 4 p.m.
Yep.
We're going to be having the podcast go live. Then on Wednesday, 4 p.m., we can have a snippet of the podcast, the bite-sized version of the podcast.
Exactly.
That's going to be coming out. And then on a Friday, we're going to have a new car coming out. Now, also, Saturdays and Sundays are overflow days.
Yes, so that may be an extra clip and shorts, things like that.
Yeah, anything extra we have that we didn't fit in the Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule. That'll be coming out on the Friday, or say Saturday or Sunday.
Exactly.
So keep an eye out.
So I don't think there's anything else to say, but thank you so much for watching, everyone. Make sure you like and subscribe, and we'll see you in the next one. Good night!